2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, I want to talk about extreme routines because earlier this month, the influencer Ashton Hall's bizarre 6-hour-long routine racked in millions of views on TikTok. At 5 to 4 every morning, he gets up, he dunks his head in an ice bath with some lemon juice, he eats a banana, and then he rubs the banana skin on his face. He does a load of exercise, and then he does more ice bath dunks. All of this from 4 a.m. until 9 in the morning. And he is not the only one, because from stuff like mouth taping, nose strips, using castor oil stomach packs, scraping tongues to get rid of toxins, massaging scalps, red light therapy, the internet is full of extreme morning and night routines from self-proclaimed health and wellness gurus. And to talk us through it right now, we have got our favourite psychologist, Padraig Gault, is joining us right now. You're very welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Laura.
I feel like when I was starting that intro, the very beginning of it, when we were talking about Ashton and his extreme routine, I was like, oh, whatever. And then as it got into the mouth taping, the nose strips, the castor oil stomach packs, the scraping tongues, massaging scalps, red light therapy, I was like, this is just a dig at me. Like, these are all bits that I've like...
Are these things you've done?
Of course they are.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, I love a little trend.
Oh, like, yeah. Wow, okay. This is going to be great.
Love a little something going on. But let's kick off first with the example of Ashton Hall, Padraig, because what do you make of him and his extreme routine?
That is 5 minutes I am never getting back. I had to watch that in order to give some feedback on this, and that is 5 minutes I'm never getting back. I always love to think about human motivation. Obviously, as a behavioural psychologist, one of the things is going, why do people do what they do? And my question was, why is this guy posting what he's posting on social media? And I'm going, well, what's this guy's job? He's an influencer and he gets engagement. And I go, okay, so that's part of the motivation why this guy is doing it. But when we get to extreme routines, they can seem very appealing for the audience that are looking at them.
Yeah.
And this is where our critical abilities to go, is this for me? One of the things I actually found really interesting was the amount of people that wanted to talk about it, be it give out about it or to support it. And I'm a big fan of what's called the let them theory.
Yeah.
Or I like, that's an American term. The Irish term is good
leave
for them.
Them.
Good. Yeah, leave them off. Right?
There's
a fantastic book. I can't think of the author's name. I'll get it before the end. Just of the let them theory.
I know. She's absolutely huge. What's her face? Mel Robbins.
Why? Exactly. Yeah. Mel Robbins. Why do we care? And it's all, and we'll come back to the idea of routines, the idea of extreme routines, of pushing our bodies, of having those experiments, but also going, well, where do I get my messaging from, and how does that influence my intrinsic motivation?
Yeah.
Am I doing it for the right reasons?
Yeah. And this is a mad thing as well, because like, obviously everybody wants to better themselves, and you know, and especially now, like the sun's out and now everyone's kind of panicking because they're going on holidays and they're like, oh, I want to feel a little bit better, you know, I want to look a little bit better. So you start getting into more workouts. But the extreme end of things where you're doing this from 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. Can I actually just point out as well that I think 2 hours of this is setting up cameras, because that takes so much time.
I did think that. So
I don't think that it would take the average person this long to just dunk yourself in a bit of ice, do a workout, do a dunk in an ice bath, and then get on with your day again.
Not at all. One of the things about an extreme routine, first off, is if I were to do a morning camera setup of my very mundane, mediocre, child-fueled morning routine, it's not going to get that much engagement, okay, on social media. So we are drawn towards the extremities here, right? Does that make it better? No, not at all, right? But what it does do, and this is kind of ironic when you think about the appeal of an extreme routine, is that in ways it offers simplicity.
Okay.
Right? That an extreme routine says, as hard as it's going to be, if you follow this template, if you follow these routines, these are the results that we will promise you. That's the appeal, okay?
Yeah.
And that sounds almost ironic in that they're saying it's going to be really, really hard. But within that, there is simplicity, because now I've got a template and I've got a perceived result at the end. Is it achievable? My goodness, no. But it's very, very difficult to get to. Is it sustainable? It's very not. So the extreme routines don't really build sustainable lifestyle habits. What they do is give you short-term experiments to test what you could do.
Do you think that they have become a thing now amongst, you know, the wider audience? Like, I mean, I think at the start of the year, if you would remember back, like 75 hard was a huge thing that everybody was so, you know, like doing it. And that was two workouts a day. One of them was indoor, one of them was outdoor. Your diet was incredibly like straightforward. You drank loads of water. You didn't drink any alcohol. And they were very extreme before 75 days.
Yes. A big shout out to one of my students at Trinity who does the master's in behavior analysis, mm. Jocelyn Mackey. So I was teaching them a few weeks ago and I was talking about behavior change and she mentioned this routine, which is 75 hard. So she is my guinea pig for this. So I actually rang her yesterday and said, listen, what is the story? Tell me about this as a project. And she said, one of the interesting parts of it is that it gives you structure. Okay. Around your day, which is good. That's the easy part, you yeah. know. We're almost outsourcing what we should be doing because we now have a template. She's passed the end of the 75 days and did it successfully. But there were a few things that she had noticed. One was this idea of intrinsic positive motivation mm-hmm. versus extrinsic negative motivation. Right, I'll explain.
Yeah.
So, motivation. Where does it come from? It comes from our why. There can be intrinsic or there can be extrinsic. So, am I going through this routine because there is a certain why within me that I want to change? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And is it positive? Am I trying to achieve something or am I trying to avoid something negative?
Okay.
Right. Think about the person who chooses to do a routine like 75 hard and they're looking for extrinsic motivation and it's negatively motivated, as in they're trying to avoid missing out. They're trying to avoid not being part. If I don't do this,
yeah.
something bad is going to happen or I'm not going to be my perfect self. And it's motivated by external forces. So I have to post this in order to get feedback or yeah. I have to get some sort of positive reward from others. If I don't get that external motivation, it's very unlikely that I will do it. So she said that she didn't post for the first 20 or 30 days,
okay.
and that's grounded in behavioral science. The findings are that if you want to do something, if you want to make a change in your life that's really true to you, don't tell anybody.
So be silent about it.
Be silent about it. And the reason being is that the minute you tell somebody, it becomes, you've almost taken the first couple of steps towards yeah. achieving it. So you can imagine if I said, I'm going to run a marathon and I tell you live on air, Laura Fox, I'm going to run a marathon. You're going to say, well, fair play to you, Pori. That's great. And then I would hope that I get a couple of text messages going, well, Jesus, you're the best lad. Isn't that great? I could sit down and eat a packet of Maltesers going, sure, I'm a great lad. I'm already halfway there because people are giving me the reward because my motivation is coming from extrinsic motivation.
Okay.
You with me? And it feels like I'm a few steps towards my goal so I can take my foot off the pedal.
So by keeping things to yourself almost, it's this like it's within you is the why, and that's you're doing this because you actually enjoy it. It's not because of the external factors and the external validation that you're getting. Back to the extreme routines just for a second as well, because I know that we're like drifting off into different forms of extreme routines, but
yeah.
like are normal people doing these? Or is it just people that we see online who essentially are making money off the back of it?
I have no data to suggest people are doing it. I don't know if folks are looking at it like me with a cynical eye going, oh yeah. my goodness, like you said, even though you've tried and done some of them, I think a lot of us are tempted to use them as experiments for ourselves
yeah.
to try them out. And that's okay. Like it's like you said earlier on, we are, as human beings, we are always tempted to see what are the limits, what are what's the potential that we have. You know,
yeah.
people will sign up to marathons or will sign up to 75 hards and they will see what works here. Maybe I could try and get up at a little bit earlier
mm.
and do that for a sustained period of time. But I would worry if people are taking them as dogma.
Okay.
Because by their very nature, an extreme routine is something that is unsustainable.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you must do this, if you're motivated by avoiding the bad thing, if I don't do this, I'm a failure.
Yeah.
And they're so extreme and so difficult, that can be teeing yourself up for a bad run.
Why do you think, though, that we are actually drawn to extreme anything? Like, is it a challenge within us that we're like, oh no, I want to see if I can do it? Or is it just because everybody else is at it as well?
I'm really interested in explorers. You go back through the centuries and people taking to the seas and going, they're just going to explore and go out and see and push the limits of human
yeah.
humanity and see what's on the horizon. I'm always interested by those people because there is no guarantee. There's no Google Maps. There is no fallback. I'm really interested by what how people do that. And I always look back towards history. Like the first marathon was run in Greece and Athens like thousands of years
yeah.
ago. And you're going, are we like are we motivated to push ourselves further? There can be an unease, and we all know people who will, you'll talk to them and they will always want, they'll never be content.
Okay.
They will never be tuned into, actually, these are the good things that are going on in my life. And some people will be trying to improve themselves, engaging this kind of self-improvement routine.
Yeah.
And they'll be doing it from, I'm going to try this out. I'm going to see if I can better myself. There will be others who will say, oh, I need to lose a few pounds, or I need to get a little bit fitter, or I need to do another course, or I need to improve myself. And it's coming from that, ooh, wait a minute. Can you embrace the contentment? And you might look at them and go, oh my goodness, you have got everything nailed here.
Yeah.
You've got, you, in fact, your framing of your life currently is towards what are you lacking, rather than sitting back and being grateful and appreciating what you've got.
What you actually have in
front
of you.
And sitting with that joy, the contentment, and tuning into, actually, you know what? I've achieved a lot. Or I haven't achieved a lot, but I'm still quite happy and content. You know, life is okay at the moment.
Do you think as well that extreme routines, would they be a way that some people could get control over their lives?
I think that's one of the selling points of them. And the term locus of control is an interesting phenomenon that I'm using at the moment in the development on a project. And our locus of control can be intrinsic or extrinsic. Okay?
Okay,
so we can see that if I have a high intrinsic locus of control, I feel like I could control lots of different factors, even if they're actually not within my control, right? So that you know, the opposite of that is an extrinsic locus of control, that I feel like, you know what, there's nothing I can do about this, things are going to happen, and what's the point? You know, that kind of extrinsic locus of control. When you see an extreme routine marketed, part of the underlying message is things have got out of hand. You know, things have got out of your control. And here is a way that you can control something, be it through exercise, your diet, through a routine that you can establish that will give you some control back. And that's very, very important. It's one of the key things that human beings that we like is autonomy.
Yeah.
The autonomy over ourselves. Think about what sold Brexit, for, you know, 10 years ago, was that idea of take back control. It's a very appealing idea,
narrative.
And that's one of the things that extreme routines will try and sell.
What about, so like obviously the saying of, you know, no pain, no gain, right? That has been around for years and years and years. So many of these early morning routines are self-punishing almost. Like, is there a view that punishing yourself is a good thing? You know, that like you do this and it's going to be painful, but you're going to get rewarded for it.
Yeah, you know that it's very difficult to sell something that has reward long into the future.
Yeah, we don't care about it. We want the
immediate
the gratification now.
So if I say to you, you know, you can get a euphoric hit, and that euphoric hit is going to come from, you know, doing a long distance run that you've trained for in 4 months' time.
Yeah.
Or you can have two glasses of Sauvignon Blanc right now and you're going to feel great after those two glasses. Which are you going to go for? We tend to go towards the more immediate hit, which is this present bias that we have. The idea of no pain, no gain is kind of flipping that on its head and saying, you know, in order to really feel virtuous, in order to really feel like this is making a difference, you have to feel like there is a pain associated with it. And I think that's one of the things that they try and sell in these extreme routines is it has to be the coldest of cold baths, it has to be the hottest of hot saunas, it has to be the hardest of hard hits.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing that, you're not getting close to your goal. So that immediate physical feedback that we get can serve as this idea that, okay, I'm getting closer towards whatever goal they're selling to you. I wouldn't say you should be going for that. I would say you should tune into your own personal why and what is it that you actually want to achieve.
It is so bizarre as well, because I mean, so many times in my own life, I've like, if I haven't done a 40 minute workout and I've only done 25 minutes, I'm like, oh, I'm absolutely useless. And I'm like, well, that was better than nothing, which was the alternative to that. And it's little and often throughout your day. And I suppose throughout all of this, like, there begs the question of, isn't it better just to accept ourselves as we are? Which, I mean, is kind of the age old thing that we've all been trying to do.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite phrases is, don't let perfection get in the way of better.
Yeah.
Barack Obama used to use it. It's a very common phrase. Don't let perfection get in the way of better. And the extreme routines that are completely unrealistic, because you said it takes 2 hours to set up a camera.
There's, ballpark.
Ballpark. It takes ages for these, but they are showing you the perfection. And that's because that's what the algorithm responds to, right? But actually doing a little bit better. And that was one of the other things that that Jocelyn had said after doing 75 hard. I said, what's it like after your 75 days? And she goes, what I did was I took the things that worked for me.
Yeah.
I took the things that fitted into my existing routine that made me feel better, and I kept those. And the stuff that didn't work for me, I let that go.
Yeah.
And the question that we always should ask ourselves is this putting too much stress on myself, or is it helping take stress off me? Do you ever, I know you're sitting there wondering, why do nuns live so long, aren't you? Everyone is wondering, why do nuns live so long? And that was a question that was asked 30, 40 years ago. And there was a very famous study called the Nun Study to say, why is it that nuns live so long? And one of the key factors that they found was that they had a stable, low stress daily routine. And that idea of having a routine that was grounded in something that was low stress, that was early mornings, that was being fit, that was being connected with others, that was tuned into a meaningful day, actually helped them to live longer and healthier lives.
But again, because they're having a sensible routine and not an extreme one. So I think that that's the best part of all of this.
Absolutely. That's it. It's the stability of that, where they're not trying to go from extreme to another extreme. And if you see an extreme routine and you are attracted to it, stop before you just buy into it straight away and ask yourself the question, why am I attracted to this? What's my why?
Yeah.
What is my why currently? Is this actually going to provide the answers that I'm looking for? And, you know, is it going to fit sustainably into my life? Or am I going to do this for 3-4 days and then on the fifth day feel like a failure and go, well, actually, do you know what? This perpetuates this idea that I have that I just can't maintain any sort of extreme routine. And look at this person online and they've got all these videos set up telling about how successful or how fit or how great they are. And, you know, there's a sense of less than that can be felt. Whereas actually, if we take a more moderate and values-based routine that works for us, that fits in our own routine, that's much, much better.
I think as well, like taking this entire conversation like to just one point, it's like you can actually consume things online and enjoy them for consumption. You know what I mean? Like you can actually watch these extreme routines because you can look and say, well, that is their full-time job. They're getting views off the back of this. Therefore, they're making money off the back of this. That's not attainable for me, but I'm going to have, you know, get up half an hour earlier and I'm going to walk to the office now that the days are getting a little bit nicer. I'm going to walk home and, you know, implementing these very attainable things into your day that will make you feel better and won't have you stressed out, and finding your why, Pork.
Finding your why, you know, you might look at them for enjoyment. That is 5 minutes. I'm never getting back having watched that routine. However, I will say one final thing, one little tip grounded in behavioral science. If you're trying to make a routine change, is to habit stack.
Yeah.
Habit stacking is saying, can you latch on something new onto an existing routine? Can you, if you're commuting, can you build in some movement? If you are doing something already in your routine and latching on something that is of value to you, that's going to give you a little bit of an improvement, that is not going to completely disrupt your routine and it's going to be sustainable.
And the habit will get you through and the motivation won't, because it won't always be there. I'm learning from you every single week that you come into us, Pork. Behavioral psychologist Pork Walsh, thank you so much for joining us again this week and talking about extreme routining. We will be right back after these.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast,
sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.